like to read a passage of scripture that I'm sure is very well known, and that's in Luke chapter 15. And we'll start at the beginning of the particular parable that the Lord spoke. And it commences in verse 11. Luke 15 and verse 11. And he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give to me the share of the property that falls to me. And he divided to them what he was possessed of. And after not many days, the younger son, gathering all together, went away into a country a long way off, and there dissipated his property, living in debauchery. But when he had spent all, there arose a violent famine throughout that country, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he longed to fill his belly with the husks which the swine were eating, and no one gave to him. And coming to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have abundance of bread, and I perish here by famine? I will rise up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and before thee. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he rose up and went to his own father. But while he was yet a long way off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion and ran and fell upon his neck and covered him with kisses. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his bondmen, Bring out the best robe, and clothe him in it, and put a ring on his hand, and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and make merry. For this my son was dead, and has come to life, was lost, and has been found. And they began to make merry. And then I'd also like to read in the Gospel of John, and chapter 3. John chapter 3, and starting at verse 13. And no one has gone up into heaven, save he who came down out of heaven, the Son of Man, who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, thus must the Son of Man be lifted up, that every one who believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him may not perish, but have life eternal. I'm sure I've preached from these scriptures here before, and I'm sure you've heard them many times already. But what I wanted to speak about really was the condition of this young man, the young of the two sons that this man had. Not surprisingly, he wanted to get away. And he knew that his father had possessions and property and so on, and he thought, I want some of that. I want to get away from the rule that I find myself under, and I want to go and live my life the way I want to live it. We've all thought that, haven't we? We've all thought, let's get away from authority. Let's do what pleases us, what gives pleasure to me. It's just the way that we are. It's the way men and women have been from generation to generation. And so it happened to this young man. It says, after not many days, gathering all together, he went away into a country a long way off, and there dissipated his property. See how quickly it happened. He was given this share of his inheritance, and it says, after not many days. And then we haven't even got through verse 13. says he dissipated his property living in debauchery. How quickly he came to the end of his resources. How quickly we come, you know, to the end of what we can do naturally for ourselves. Doesn't take very long. In fact, it's very, very quick. You ever try to live by your wits, you'll find it's very, very difficult. And yet, what I wanted to speak about, which really came home to me, after coming to himself, which is what the scripture says here, and he says he began to be in want. And it says that he longed to fill his belly with the husks. And then it says he, in coming to himself. That took more than one verse. He spent all, verse 14, because of the violent famine. Then he began to be in want. And he longed to fill his belly with the husk which the swine were eating. And then it says, and coming to himself. It's wonderful, you know, when you know what it is to come to yourself. To realise that all that you have done, all your efforts have been in vain. Nothing you've done has brought you any prosperity. It's brought you no happiness, brought you no peace, and it's brought you no joy. I expect he'd wished he'd never left home. But the great thing was, it says, and coming to himself. He realised that actually the Father's house was by far and away the best place. Now I know, in one sense, this is not the gospel. Luke 15 doesn't really speak about the gospel, but it speaks about a certain part of it. And this is what I want to speak about tonight. Coming to himself. Coming to yourself. And then realising that the only way back home is through repentance. Hard lesson to learn, but a vital one. Coming to himself, he realised that those who were termed hired servants had a better living than he did. And a hired servant was someone who could be hired by the day and paid at the end of each day. It was a fairly precarious way of living, but there were those who were able to do it. But this man had nothing. Nothing at all. He was bereft of all kindness, all human comfort, and it brought it home to him. Coming to himself, he realised just what resources were to be had at his father's house. And coming to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have abundance of bread, and I perish here by famine. Or you think of the vast numbers of persons who are perishing morally today. Morally perishing because they have no resource in themselves. Where do we find resource? We find it in the Lord Jesus Christ. We find joy in the presence of the Father. We find joy in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says, I will rise up and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. He really come to himself, hadn't he? Known just how far away he'd got. It says right at the beginning, gathering all together, went away into a country a long way off. I expect that was his plan, you know, to get away as far as he possibly could, as far as he was able to get. Reminds you a little bit of Jonah, doesn't it? He wanted to get away as far as he possibly could, because he had to deliver a message. But how thankful we are that Jonah came to himself in the belly of the fish. And God has his own way of bringing you to yourself. And he has his way of bringing you to himself as well. So you can come to yourself, but then it's good when you come to himself. The Father, that is. He says, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. But he wanted to get back to his father's house. And he thought that the only way to do it would be to become one of his hired servants. Think of that. All that he'd enjoyed as a son, he was prepared to forego if it meant his reception back into the house that he once left. And he thought that the best way to do it was as a hired servant. Now, he'd come a long way, and he'd fallen a long, long way in terms of the place that he once had as the son of his father. But, you know, God doesn't work in quite the same way that we expect him to. He didn't work in the way that the son here expected him to. You know, that just shows the greatness of God's grace. Comes to you where you are. He came to this man where he was. He'd come to it that he'd sinned. He'd come to it that he was no longer worthy to be called God, to be called the son of his father. He realized that he'd sinned against heaven and against his father. And yet, you know, the father's heart was such that while he was yet a long way off, again, it doesn't say how far away, but he was a long way off. He hadn't got home, but he was on his way. Perhaps that's where you are. You haven't quite got home, but you're on your way. God, in his love, would cover the distance, because there was distance. Distance had come in. And yet God, in his love, it says he saw him when he was yet a long way off and was moved with compassion and ran and fell upon his neck and covered him with kisses. That's not what the younger son expected. Didn't expect this reception at all. He thought he would have to say his part. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. And he stopped, and it stops. Doesn't say, make me as one of thy hired servants. The father moved with such alacrity. He wasn't able to get the rest of it out. Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no longer worthy to be called thy son. How wonderful it was, you know, that the father covered that distance with such speed. And really, I suppose, could say he took the younger son completely by surprise. Moved with compassion, ran and fell upon his neck, covered him with kisses. You know, that's just how God is towards the sinner tonight. You just make that first move. You come to yourself. You repent. And you'll find that God does the rest. Say that carefully, but it has to come from your side first. But he will do the rest, because he wants you back in his presence. You were there once, you moved away to a country a long way off, but he wants you back in his presence. He wants to bring out the best robe. He wants to put a ring on your hand and sandals on your feet. He wants to restore to you the place you once had. And it's only the Father that can do that. It's only God in his love that can restore to you to the place that you once had. And he loves to do it. He holds nothing back. Delights in showing mercy, making grace abounding known. Well, I read in John because, you know, you might say, well, how can the Lord speak a parable like this? It must have meant something to those he spoke it to. And it means something to us because we know a little bit more as to the background. But I thought it was important just to remind us that when we're talking about these things as to repentance and coming back to the place that you'd once enjoyed, there has to be a moral way. And God, in his grace and in his mercy, has sent his Son to take that pathway of suffering and loss, to shed his precious blood and to die. And you know, that is the only way for the sinner to come to the feet of the Lord Jesus. This is the moral way. This is the way of repentance. This is the way of faith and trust. You know, this is the way that God wants you to come. To acknowledge that great and wonderful sacrifice that he has made in giving up his beloved Son. He gave him up to be a ransom. A ransom. That's something, you know, that has to be paid. A ransom can't just magically disappear. It has to be paid. And the only ransom God, in his holiness, can accept is the precious blood of a perfect, holy sacrifice. All through the wilderness years, you know, when the people of Israel were travelling to the promised land, there were sacrifices of blood all through those 40 years, and it spoke to God as to his beloved Son. He hadn't come at that time, but they were learning a lesson, the children of Israel, that without blood shedding, there can be no forgiveness. And it's true today, without the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness. And you know, the Lord Jesus shed his blood. Not only did he come here to do God's will, but he came here to be that holy sacrifice that God could accept. And although that was over 2,000 years ago, God is able to look upon that blood as though it was shed in the last minute or two. Think of that. Hasn't altered the power of Christ's work upon the cross. It's not been altered at all. God has looked upon that sacrifice of Christ's blood and he's accepted it. And he's accepted you if you come in on that basis. If you say, oh God, I come into your presence to the sacrifice of your beloved Son. What's he going to do? Turn you away? Of course not. He's going to welcome you with open arms, as we read in Luke. Cover you with kisses. Bring out the best robe. All your guilt taken away. You might sin tomorrow. I might sin tomorrow. But you know, that sacrifice of blood has taken away my guilt. How wonderful it is that all the things that stand out against me, Christ has removed them in his blood. And although we may try and live here a life that is acceptable to God, we fall short every time because we're still in human condition. But you know, God is gracious. How wonderful to be able to speak of the graciousness of God, meeting the need of every sinner. He meets my need, and he meets your need every hour of every day, through the night, through the day, whatever the circumstances, whatever the pressures you go through. And we're living under pressures that we wouldn't have dreamed of a year ago. And God, in his grace, is able to meet us in the conditions in which we are. And he looks upon the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And he's satisfied. And you can look upon that precious blood and you can be satisfied. You can know that Satan cannot bring an accusation against anyone sheltering under the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. Well, I just want to share these thoughts with you so that you might be assured. We're living in days when we are not naturally assured. We cannot be certain even what we hear necessarily is the truth. And yet, God would delight to draw near and to reassure us that he is in charge. He is in control. His beloved Son is coming here soon to reign. And every knee will have to bow. Every tongue confess him Lord to God the Father's glory. Will you be among those who will bow the knee to confess him as your Lord and Saviour? I delight in everyone here in this room who knows that their eternal destiny is secure and sure by the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe just be encouraged with these words for his name's sake.
Amen.